Okay, thanks, and hi everyone. As mentioned, my name's Neil McGovern. I'm one of the released assistants, as there's another one around here, Zobel, and there's around this week there's at least Luke Class, who's one of the release managers. And I'm here for a quick talk on Lenny and how we've tried to get it out the door and some of the problems we've had and some of the successes we think we've had as well. So, we have about 120 bugs, I think about 120 people here, so we can release. And so, you've got an hour. Go. And that's my talk. Any questions? No? Yep, thank you. Anyway. So, what we do? We keep the balls in the air, or we try to. The hard part of release management is making sure that the ball you drop doesn't break everything. Because there is so much stuff we have to do, we do try and do the best we can. And we're just trying to make sure we get stuff out the door. Sometimes we do have to make interesting decisions, but we try and make sure it can all work. Now, this is mostly a talk which I gave at DebConf. And things have moved on quite a bit from there. So we're now in this state where we call the release something called deep freeze. We've had various different stages throughout the release, which I'll come on to later. But it is a case of what does this deep freeze mean rather than a normal freeze? Those at DebConf may recognize this cat asking for an unblock. Basically, deep freeze means no. Unless it's RC Buggy. But we'll mention that one later. So, speaking of RC bugs, these are, as everyone knows, bugs that will stop releasing and will are of the highest severity to all packages. These are bugs which basically mean if they're filed against one of your packages, that your package is not going to be in the next stable release unless it's fixed. It's something that is really important there. Things which means we can't possibly even distribute them. They don't build. They break policy in horrible, horrible ways. There's something that does need paying a lot of attention to. Now, in the release team, we use this thing called termzimmer.net, which is bts.termzimmer.net. That produces a list of packages from various criteria. So we can use that to track release goals. We can use that to track various statuses. So if it's only in Lenny or if it's also in Etch, if it's in SID and various other different states and pieces. Now, at this stage, when we've got hopefully so little time left before release, we're going to be adding three tags to that, as everyone can add comments. Anyone who's familiar here with bug squashing parties should be able to see the sort of things that the comments that get added to this page. We've got is blocker, will remove, and can defer. These are the statuses that probably, I think, about 70% of all those bugs have been tagged with these now. Is blocker means that they block the release. They need fixing. And can also be a couple of things. We hope to keep this quite minimal. So any major areas of functionality that we think just have to be fixed before we can release. Another one is will remove. If a package isn't looked after and it's been RC buggy for quite some time and maintainers haven't looked at it and there's just been no sort of response, then it will get removed from testing. If it's too hard and the package isn't popular, then again, we have to remove them. The third one is interesting. It's a can defer. These are for issues that we think aren't going to get fixed in, for example, the next 6 months. They're not major issues. They're not going to break the system in horrible ways. But they are problems, and hopefully, and our plan is to get those updated for the next point release, which should come shortly afterwards. And we also, in the deep freeze, we have the freeze exception file. When we first announced that we were going to freeze, we brought in this exception file. So any package that had been uploaded at the point we said we were going to freeze went in this file. And just as an indication, there's about 1,200 of those and about 980-odd passed through. So they all went into testing straight away, quite automatically. So, when do we release? I've been asked this by a couple of journalists and various other people who've been around. Essentially, end of 2008 was our original plan, and we didn't make it, obviously, as it's 2009. There's a fair number of reasons why we didn't, why we think as a release team we didn't make that. First one is the RC bug count. It was just too high. We didn't get it down far enough. And with the numbers, certainly when I gave this presentation at DebConf, it was August, and we had just short of 400 RC bugs open, and our original target was going to be 3 weeks later. So that sort of gives you an idea that there's just no way we can get that countdown in time. Unfortunately, it didn't come down fast enough. Various other problems were discovered. A prime example is Dbus. What happened with that is it had a bug where any process could use Dbus to write and perform actions as any other user without any authentication. So we fixed this. Unfortunately, there were about 30 or 40 packages that depended on this behavior and so broke horribly. So they all needed to be... So this was actually at a bug squashing party in Cambridge. So the person who came along to that obviously didn't quite get the idea of bug squashing party, and they opened 30 new RC bugs that day. But these sort of things happened.
You also filed lots of patches.
Yes, okay, yes. Yes, I should point out that he also did file lots of patches to fix them, so it wasn't too bad. The other ones are the general resolutions, as I'm sure have become rather infamous for about release time process. We had two. The first one was the project member procedures. What happened is Jörg Jaspert, who is the Debian account manager, as well as various other hats, had a discussion with some of the people in Debian on how to increase the ways people can participate. He then sent a mail to Debian Devel. This was viewed as being a fait accompli and a decision that was going to be implemented straight away. Unfortunately, there was then a general resolution process which went through and took a lot of people's time and caused a lot of flame wars on a lot of the lists. And as I'm serving as the assistant secretary at the moment, and Manoj, who was the previous secretary, was away, I got stuck with running that particular vote. So that took certainly a lot of my time out of the release process. And the second one is the firmware, etc. in main. Lenny and resolving DFSG violations. This one itself was quite a controversial vote. It had many of the options. It is essentially the problem is that there are some core bits of the Debian system that contain binary blobs, some firmwares. And when I say core bits of the Debian system, I mean things like the kernel. So we can't really release without those. And so you have some people who say that it should be moved to non-free. You have some that say, oh, well, let's release anyway. Some say, oh, we'll just remove those bits of hardware. And all of these need resolving. And unfortunately, these only seem to pop up next to the just before a release. We do have Dato, who... as some people may have noticed, sent a mail to Debian Devel with the wiki page so we can list and try and get these issues resolved soon after release rather than beforehand, because it is a problem when we're trying to in this final stage of release and we find we have these great big GRs that are producing, sucking in not only a lot of times, but we can't really work out what we're going to do depending on the outcome of them, and it just does take time. And final one is the RC2 was delayed. This is, I think, more a problem with documentation and how things work here. What happened is we were expecting the RC2 at around sort of December time, early to mid-December. And the lead RC2 developer went away for Christmas and New Year, as people do. Unfortunately, they were sort of the only people who really knew how to produce this image. So we were stuck. We finally did get it approximately 6 to 8 weeks later, and it was a bit of a problem. But again, this can be approved by documentation, just making sure everyone knows what we're doing. So, Lenny, 14th of February, as this rather interesting sign has been sort of picked up, and I seem to see it's been appearing on every wall inside Fosdem, thanks, I assume, to Holger. But release next week. Yeah, I think we can. Except maybe not. Yeah, I should point out also, I sent a message on the 14th. I also happen to be flying to France to go skiing, but never mind. But there's only two real reasons I can think of at the top of my head. If there is a major project machine crash, if FTP Master goes down or Merkle, and which Zobel has just shut down and is rebooting at the moment, then it's going to be a problem. We can't really release it. If Faber, the CD image, isn't around, or if Steve gets rushed off to Stockholm again, then there's going to be problems. Or if things like glibc goes away, it causes problems. If there's major RC bugs all over the place. But apart from that, yeah, I think we will. Now, so quick questions of sort of what went well-ish. We had this time this staged release process where we started with core packages, so things like apt and dpackage, items like that got frozen first. We then moved on to libraries. Libraries is a interesting term. What we actually define that is anything with more than 50 RDEP ends is counted as a library. We froze those second. And then we moved on to the complete freeze, which everyone knows. It means packages don't automatically go into testing. They need manual approval and they need looking at. And then the deep freeze, which I explained earlier. This did help structure a lot more, but I mean, certainly last time some of the causes of delays was new versions of GCC and new version of glibc and various other big binary breakages that happened fairly near the end. And we tried to use this sort of staged mechanism to control that a bit more. So that when it got to the complete freeze, when you had the packages, which depend on all the libraries, they knew which ABIs they were building on because that was already frozen, that was set, and everyone was happy with that. Now, the release updates, we have one per month of a goal. Unfortunately, we didn't really make that. We do try very hard. I know I get pestered a lot because I normally end up proofreading them and missing half the spelling mistakes. But to try and get these out, one thing I think we needed to do a bit more of this year is in the actual release updates is previously in Etch, we had for the Etch release, we had target updates, so for number of RC bugs. So you could sort of have a look and see how much on time or how late we were going to be. Unfortunately, that just slipped through the net and we didn't manage to do that this time. But hopefully next time we can remember to do that and try and get out these release updates once a month. I don't know if anyone else I know certainly some people here send out bits from mail. You do get quite a lot of work to send these out. And so when it's very, very busy, I mean, you're probably looking out for a typical release update with all the things you have to put. You're looking at maybe 2 or 3 days' work for once a month to get these sort of updates in. And it is quite hard, and it is quite a lot of work. We do, obviously, we realise people appreciate them, which is why we do it. But when it gets busy, these things can get dropped. It suddenly becomes 6 weeks and you go, oh, I haven't sent out an update in a while. And there hasn't been one written, and we don't know what we're going to put in it. So it becomes a bit of a problem. We also introduced this concept of release goals, which are overall aims that have come from developers themselves of things they want to do before we release. Things like getting POI parts, getting all Debian changelogs, UTF-8 compatible, various items like that. These were goals which, as release team, we tried to push forward and tried to make sure were available just to increase the quality of release and try and get everyone happy. But they weren't release critical. Again, they had to be led by individual developers, not the release team, because we just didn't have time to do it, and we still don't. And we got through 7 of 15, so about half of those. ones which have been approved and haven't finished, they will automatically roll over, I believe, to the next release. So then they can still be tracked. And some contact information. There's our website, which is therelease.debian.org, and our email address, debian-release@lists.debian.org, and the IRC hash Debian release. The second one, the actual email address, is normally the recommended one. That's the one we use to process all requests and do various items like that, because it does help keep try to keep people in one place and keep you all documented and items like that. I see I've been wittering on at you for about 20 odd minutes now. I mentioned that I had this slide in DebConf. It had a lot more information in DebConf. Unfortunately, I could tell you a lot about how to get unblock requests and various items, but we're not accepting those anymore. So I have to cut it down quite a bit. I seem to have been given an hour for this talk, so it seems we've got about 35 minutes of questions. And so if there are any, which possibly aren't, are we really releasing next week? Are we really, really, really? Then, yeah, sure, go ahead. Anyone? Anyone not Steve? Steve!
Sorry, go back to your list of what you think went well. What do you think didn't go well?
What do I think didn't go well? We were late, obviously. There were problems with that. In terms of things not going well, I hate you so much right now. We had various issues with how to... Again, one of the problems is this release updates, this once a month. We really did want to try and meet that as much as we could. Obviously, we couldn't. I think we also could ourselves also do with more documentation. We needed to get our processes in place so everyone knows exactly what we're doing and try and communicate those to developers. It would have been nice to see us get a more strategic viewpoint so we can say, this is the sort of area we want to do for the next release. We haven't done this in the past because we've left it very much up to the package maintainers and developers to try and get that done. We also tried to do a, soon after the etch release, we sent out emails to lots of the teams saying, okay, what's going to be your plan for Lenny? What version of GNOME? What version of KDE? And sort of give us an idea of how that went and how we can and what sort of thing we're going to be shipping. Unfortunately, especially with KDE and Anna's over there, it was always a question of whether we can get KDE 4 into Lenny. Unfortunately, it just wasn't stable enough in the time, so a lot of these questions are up in the air. And we didn't quite push as hard as possibly we could to try and get those answers and try and get that strategic overview of where we'd like the release to go.
Okay, one more question.
Uh-huh.
Again, going back a slide. Back. It's the end of 2008. Now, I have an interest in this, obviously. I've done interviews with various press people over the last few months asking, so why are we late? One of the things that, obviously, I hope most people here are aware, was we were aiming to do last half of 2008, mm-hmm. but we wouldn't be totally mortified if it slipped a little bit. However, I was going to tell journalists that as well, but unfortunately, a couple of the other release updates went out and said, not we hope end of 2008, but one of them just said September 2008. Not with no qualifications, which was wonderful. It was what we wanted, but more qualification on those earlier.
Yeah,
means that, to be honest, we've got less of an image issue later on.
Yeah,
and I don't have to try and make up excuses
to journalists on when we do. Yeah, I mean, we have this September 2008 thing, which we sort of distributed, and we said to all developers, this is our aim. Again, then some of these things should have probably been more clear about, no, this is the aim, we're not promising.
Yeah, the best possible, if everything goes perfectly, it will be then, but don't necessarily expect it.
Yeah.
Release the internal goal to get there by September 2008, which we obviously didn't have.
Yeah.
So it's not just such a good idea to announce those dates. only if that's your internal goal.
Yes.
Why say the internal goal to the press? Why?
Well, it, of course, it's not necessarily to the press, but it goes out to the mailing list.
It goes out and people start laughing. Yeah.
But, of course, unfortunately, if we don't give a reasonable idea of a date a long time in front, people then say when we get close to it,
oh
my
you
God,
didn't tell us.
Why didn't you warn us?
Yeah, so have your internal date and announced the official one 6 months from then.
Well, it course. Is not just the press, it is important for all the people who build their business on Debian. So
yes.
You get to have an idea, even if it's you know that it will not be ready because you know history. But you need to know if it's in 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we do pride ourselves on, we try and do as much open development as possible. So if we say September 2008 internally because it's what we're working towards, we expect the rest of the world to see that too. We're not going to try and keep it quiet.
Yeah, okay.
This is one of the core Debian things. It's we are an open community and we do try and keep it as much so. I think our official bits to the press was fourth quarter or second half of 2008, so basically by the end of 2008. Unfortunately, we didn't make that either. Chatting with Luke there was sort of an unofficial one to try and get it done on the 31st of December if we could to try and meet this target, but it just didn't happen in the end. Again, circumstances sort of appear that means we don't make it. It does also seem that we seem to be settling now on this 22 months between releases, and no matter how much we try and speed it up, it doesn't happen. And if we do look like we might make it, then GRs pop up or something and people don't want us to. But yeah, so we did try and make it. It didn't make it this time. I think possibly, again, this view on how many RC bugs we have left and our sort of timeline for getting rid of them so we can see if we're slipping behind would help. And so it's something we're going to try and do for next time. Kitty.
What happens if you don't get it ready for release next week now?
If we don't, then Debian UK will have just spent a lot of money on a waste of t-shirts. And unfortunately, the secretary of Debian UK is also the DPL and knows where I live and work. I think this may be quite painful if we don't. Is he? Oh, is he secretary?
Treasurer.
Oh, he's treasurer. Yeah, okay.
Where did you say you were skiing?
the US. Yeah.
What is the biggest consequence of the shift and the release date in terms of difference between stable and unstable? I mean, how many users are going to use stable and prefer to go to unstable because it is so obsolete when it is released?
It's interesting that we get a lot of view that that Etch is now obsolete. This is why, if you view it from various other platforms and operating systems, we do release quite quickly. 22 months is less than 2 years. If you have a look at the traditional Microsoft model, you have many years between, I mean, how long was everyone waiting for Vista over XP? Or even XP over 2000? It is a long-term item. What we have is, because Linux and open source software and free software in general is such a fast-moving item, there are updates going in all the time. There's always the latest and the greatest. It does seem that when people release every 6 months, you get this fast-paced, fast-moving updates. Our releases aren't like that. We have 6 months for a freeze to stabilize it, to QA it, to make sure it's all ready. We have, for example, in the release coming up, we have Firefox 3 rather than Firefox 2.0. And my parents are still running Firefox 0.9 because they haven't known to update it. And so we try and get them updated and make it keep it pushed. But it And they were quite, the issue was, apart from the obviously security flaws, is they were quite happy with that. It still worked. And Debian does have this big focus on keeping stable things stable. I know at work, if we had to get all the developers to update every 6 months, they would throw a mini riot. They want systems that work. They don't want them breaking. Then they just want to stay productive on them. And that's one of the focuses we have. Now, for people who do want a lot more up-to-date software, there is testing. And for somewhere in between, we've introduced, there's this backport system, which I hope everyone knows about, which does enable, if you really do need a newer package, it allows you to pull in just that bit without and keeping your core system stable. So many people do that. And we don't just offer the single release. We do offer this choice.
I also do believe that since the Edge and now also Lenny, that most of the software we ship has significantly matured, like the desktop environment. It's not comparable to Ruby, for example. It was really unusable.
Well, yeah,
near the end. But things like OpenOffice are getting quite mature, and really having the very latest isn't all that relevant for most applications anymore. So I think that's also acceptable.
We'll come around the room. Yep.
I would like to ask you, how do you schedule, for example, you have the bugs and you cannot calculate how much time it will take a bug to be fixed. So you've got a huge percentage of randomness. So my question is, you need a huge buffer to be within your planning.
Yes. I think it's down to experience of a sort of gut feeling on how long it'll take. Part of the issue is it is random. So some bugs will take months to fix. The other bugs will take a day to fix. And it does generally end up being we see this sort of idea of how long it will take to fix. We don't know necessarily how long it will take to fix a single bug, but we may have a feeling on how long it will take to fix 200 bugs, because they'll average themselves out. Again, we have problems of stuff coming up at the last minute. And I think what we do need to do is, yes, we need to put in this buffer quite a bit on this extra 2 months or 3 months or however long it is. There's going to be some analysis, obviously, afterwards on how quickly we can release and where we put in these delays, sort of these internal delays for stuff that is going to go wrong. If we manage to make it early, brilliant, yay, and we can all have a party. But there is an issue that we need to put in this unforeseen items area that we haven't really been doing too well in the past. Pop around here first.
You said that Debian as a project seems to have just about settled on 22-month cycles. Will we be aiming for an 18-month cycle for the next release, or are we going to aim for 22 and hit 26?
Well, certainly, my aim is to, again, aim for 18, if we can. We also get things like, we're not entirely sure where things like the new version of X would come out on the new KDE or GNOME or stuff like that. We did have this sort of idea. This is sort of linked to the version numbers, where we had, if it wasn't going to be a major item, then we'll bump the major versions. If it was just lots of new stuff, then we'll bump the lower version, which are more or less the same, and it went a bit strange for a while, especially with 3.1. But I think we're certainly, I know Squeeze is now going to be 6.0. I mean, one of the aims we're probably looking at is, I think, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's 6.0 for Lenny, 6.0.1 for the first point release, 6.0.2 for the next one. And then the Lenny and a half is 6.1.0. Sorry? Oh, he said, sorry, yeah. 5.0.1 and then 5.1.0 and 5.1.1, etc. And if we do have to have a third, a sort of Lenny and three quarters or whatever it is, we're quickly running out of numbers. I know, it's quite good.
So should we aim for 14 months to try and hit 18? Or should we continue to aim for 18 months?
I personally think we should continue to aim for 18. Why not aim for 6 months and then make it a year? Or why not say, oh, we're going to freeze now and then release every 6 months? By going for this 18, we do have this we do have an amount of time where sufficient development can take place, and we do have a lot of new things coming in, and we do try and keep it realistic.
Yep.
I mean, we do have this thing of we release when we're ready. We do like to try and encourage development, but then suddenly you get 1,000 or so RC bugs suddenly appear, and you can't release it in time. And so when it comes down to what we consider a manageable level, I know is mentioned before about how we pick when we freeze. This is done at a point where we think that not freezing hurts us more than freezing. Because we know it is a bit of a disruption. I mean, people can still carry on working in experimental and to a lesser extent, but still unstable during the freeze. And use testing proposed updates. We prefer stuff to go through unstable because it receives more testing, obviously. But trying to work out when to do this freeze thing, it is a case of the RC bug count is just not going to come down anymore unless we freeze. And which is one of the reasons why we've picked next weekend. I think if we give it another 3 months, 4 months, the release isn't going to get any better. It's at the stage now that where it is more or less the best it's going to get. There's a few still issues which we're trying to fix. But it is the case now that no matter how much time we get it, we're still going to have these issues at the end and they're not going to get fixed. So we're going to try and get everything polished up and release now. And then we know we're quite happy that we have the best distribution and the best release we can. So it is a case of sort of guessing and picking, and it's allowing this amount of development to take place and not holding people back, but then still trying to reach our target of not releasing every 4 years like has happened with in the past. That's a new person.
Development doesn't stop during the time we freeze. Everyone is free to upload to experimental. Nowadays, all architectures get built. Experimental suite is built on all architectures. Okay, by best effort, but if you get the dependency stuff right, then all of your packages should get built on experimental as well.
Yeah, so I mean, certainly experimental is the area for things which you don't want in a release, and you think, oh, they're just going to break everything horribly. I would question whether you should be uploading that to unstable. Unstable is a fast-moving target, but putting stuff that you know is going to break things in unstable is just going to lead to grief for everyone. So if you want to test all the latest bleeding-edge stuff, I'd suggest using experimental. Again, there is a problem with how that's publicised, and getting people to actually test stuff in experimental is not easy sometimes. But the sort of the point of uploading to unstable is you think that that would be okay in the release. That's a releasable package. If it's not, then it should probably be fixed or use experimental until it is, because RC bugs are really critical. Yes.
Regarding the question on whether we should start freezing earlier, I had a quite original idea. Is one of the problems is sometimes RC bugs are detected very late.
Yeah.
And I think that first we should try to detect the RC bugs earlier. So maybe we should set up some RC bug finding, or I don't know what, how you can word it, to detect the RC bug earlier. Reporting an RC bug is something very useful, and the earlier it's detected, the earlier it's, I mean, we can fix it. And also, if it's released early, we can hope that upstream making a rework on it. Because sometimes the upstream says, you're going to release this version, but I don't support it anymore. So,
yeah
you are alone.
Yeah, well, I certainly agree. It's something that would be useful. Patches accepted.
The question over there was, is 22 too long? Should we be aiming shorter? The reverse is true, is possible. Is 22, or well, is the 18 months too soon? If you're going to follow the pattern of etch and a half and have a linear path,
yep.
I mean, then you get sort of halfway, you're going to be looking at a 9-month cycle. So you're 6 months you want to avoid already.
Yeah.
Is 22 months too soon?
I mean, certainly one of the important things that we've tried to make sure happens for the and a half releases is a new kernel and new X drivers and stuff for input. It really is meant to be just for supporting new hardware. It is essentially meant to be a new like a point release, so there aren't meant to be any regressions, but of course there's a slight risk. Now for that 9 months, again this year, unfortunately we didn't hit our target for that one. It came far too late. I'd like to get it sooner. It may be that we get to 9 months down the line and go, oh, well, the upstream kernel are still quite happy with 2.6.26. It's not going to happen, but it might do. But you get the sort of idea that there won't be any real advantage to us in introducing these extra the new kernels, because it does create more work for the security team, for example, and various other things to support more than one kernel. In terms of, is it too soon? Possibly. It's what in the releasing we tried to guess as sort of the best time for I should explain that after when we have a release, everyone rushes to upload to unstable. And you have this huge peak of RC of bugs and RC criticalness, and then that eventually tails off and it sort of slowly starts to come down again. At that point we can sort of estimate, well, okay, that's the number of RC bugs. And we think, yeah, there'll be some churn. It'll go up, it goes down. But we think that means we should sort of be looking at this sort of time scale for a freeze and trying to make it long enough. And that has happened to be sort of around the 18-month mark. I certainly don't know until after the release where the next one's going to be and how many changes are going to get introduced, because the more changes that get introduced, the longer it takes. Not necessarily a problem, because we want new and exciting features for our users. But it's something that we need to think about.
Can I have another one, please?
Now more. Anyone else? Yeah.
I want to ask you, since we plan on an 18 or 22 month time, that means that you have to correct the bugs from the previous version while you are developing the new one.
Yes.
So that means that you, in your life cycle of development, you mean that you split the people from working on fixing the previous version and creating a new one at the same time. So
this is why the release team never mentions dates or timelines, because people take us seriously when we think, and we're just guessing most of the time. Yes, and that's what you get by producing a stable release. It requires support. And our users expect that. And what actually happens is, just after release, the maintainers should be supporting three versions of their packages. They've got old stable for a year, and then they have stable. They've potentially got the version in testing, which they need to look for, but less so, but certainly the version in the stable they need to look at as well. There is, possibly many maintainers don't realise that you do have to look after three versions of your package, which is why it's quite important that when you upload to unstable, you're happy to support that for potentially the next 3 or 4 years, because it's that version that could reach stable and therefore old stable, and it's that needs looking at. So yeah, you do have this sort of timeline which you're aiming for. Again, if we tried to do it every 6 months or every 3 months, then you'd still have the two versions, because you have the stable and the development version. Again, there's a smaller chance that there'll be big differences. But that's one of the things we get by producing a stable release, I think. I'm not really sure of any way around that, rather than saying stable releases aren't supported, and then we have all sorts of problems. No one else? I'm guessing I finished 15 minutes early then. Woohoo! Thank you.